Government Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 23rd on the West Coast, now March the 24th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. Wow, where do I begin? Well, we want to welcome, first of all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially those in the U.S. military. I got a treat for you this evening in a couple of moments here. And also those listening in on blogtalkradio.com. I want to express my gratitude for the overwhelming support for the extra half hour that we did on the show last night. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for extending us that extra time so that my guest, Dr. Atruat, and I could continue revealing some truth to you and expressing our disappointment in our Congress and the railroading, the attempt to ramrod a draconian legislation down our throats, and it really has nothing to do with the healthcare system, and it has everything to do with kickstarting the Ponzi schemes on Wall Street, plain and simple. And it's about taking your rights. It's about the planned progressive murder of millions of people in this country. And it's quite obvious that it's been well underway. We'll be revealing more of that as the days go on. And, I want to also express all the gratitude on behalf of myself and Dr. Atruat for all the email and support that we got for last night's show. It really was a fantastic show, and that's what my guests bring forth when they share the truth with you. And we're going to do the same thing tonight. Now, I have a bit of a surprise. You know, my love for music, and although I'm not like a rabid country music fan, I appreciate any music that's done very well. And I have a piece that I'd like to share with you. It's absolutely brilliant. It's in a music video. In fact, I posted it this evening on my website, directlightproductions.com, under music videos. Not too hard to find that way. So if you go to my site, click on music videos, you will see a song there, one right now, because I'm, as I've mentioned on many shows, I'm rebuilding my website. And this one I had to put up, and I'll tell you a bit more about it after this is played. So bear with us while we, once again, share some truth with you.
Broadcasting those negotiations on C-SPAN.
But these negotiations will be on C-SPAN.
It'll be on C-SPAN. It will be streaming over the net. We're going to do all these negotiations on C-SPAN.
We're going to have the negotiations televised on C-SPAN.
It'll be televised on C-SPAN. I can't guarantee it'll be exciting, so not everybody's going to be watching.
But all this will be done on C-SPAN in front of the public.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Transparency
and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
Hey, have you heard? He's gone back on his word on the internet. There's a big long list of promises broken, so eloquently spoken. You wonder why so many millions are pissed, 'cause he's a great renegger, politician at heart, a politician practicing his art. He's the great renegger, he's a black or white, he's many shades of gray, far left from what's right.
I'll make our government open and transparent so that anyone can ensure that our business is the people's business. Sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. Meetings where laws are written will be more open to the public. No more secrecy. That's the commitment I make to you as president.
He'll tell you anything to get you on his side, like a change you can't believe in. Trust me, when I lie, we'll have transparency. C-SPAN, post bills on the net. There'll be no lobbyists, no porn. Have we seen it? The great green dagger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. He's a great green nigger. He's a black or white. He's many shades of gray. Far left from a strike.
When there's a bill that ends up on my desk as president, you, the public, will have 5 days to look online, find out what's in it before I sign it.
We will put government data online in universally accessible format.
We support and we try.
They've had votes in the night. Behind closed doors, senators pride, no better than whores. Pushing their programs, refusing to hear, when the voice of the people is perfectly clear. Cause he's a great, he's nigger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. He's a great, he's nigger, either black or white. He's many shades of gray, far left from what's right.
President will be to guide this process so that it's an honest process.
His skin's so thin, when scratched you can see the horrible sight that lies just beneath. An unseasoned novice lifted up in pride, but there's a fall coming soon. There'll be no place to hide. Cause he's the great green nigger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. He's the great green nigger, neither black or white. He's many shades of gray, far left from what's right. Teleprompter in place, he can really talk that talk. Blowing smoke is cheap, but he don't walk the walk. What a politician hates is when you turn on the light. He'll run like a roach for the darkness of night. Gonna be the great green nigger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art.
I'll let citizens track federal grants, contracts, earmarks, and lobbying contracts.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. Last week, the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations.
That didn't sit well with Justice Alito, who shook his head in disagreement and appeared to mouth the words, not true.
Ask questions in real time. Offer suggestions that will be reviewed before decisions are made.
Transparent and accountable to the American people.
Let me say it as simply as I can. Transparency and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
And that is The Great Renegar, written by and performed by Mr. Michael Fisher. And I want to let the listening audience know that this was played with his permission, and we're going to play this quite often on this show until I see millions of people line dancing down Pennsylvania Avenue all the way to the White House. This is a rally and cry for freedom. I listened to what the long-legged Mac Daddy said there, we're going to be transparent. Well, believe me, it's crystal clear what's going on, the amount of corruption. I've said this over and over again. I want to really compliment Mike Fisher for a fantastic video. You have to see this video. It's a scream. And it's the truth. It's the truth about the lies that the American people were told. I've been talking about that prior to the election for months. I talked about it. I shared my research with the world. It's panned out to be very true. And some people may have a little bit of difficulty with some of the genealogical stuff, but you tell me something that doesn't ring more true than the lies we've been told. And those of you listening in for the first time, I'm talking about the Hegelian dialectical argument between was he born in Hawaii or Kenya? And this song will make you like country music too if you don't like it. Certainly the words ring true. They're very catchy. Dr. Truott and I were talking about cockroaches last night, and here it is in a song. It's amazing. Same line, in fact, he used. Fantastic song. Now, as a surprise, Mr. Fisher is going to be joining us on Evident Footprints on April 1st. That's a Thursday night. So be sure to tune in that night, and hopefully tune in every night, because we're going to be playing more of his music, not just that, and we're going to interview him. I've had a lengthy discussion with him today, and I can tell you the man is awake and knows what's going on. And he's very versed in a lot of different subjects. So I encourage you, I don't get paid for this, I encourage you to go to the great Renegar, okay? I'm going to spell that out. THEGREATRENEGR.com. TheGreatRenegar.com. And you can get yourself a copy of that. It's also available, Mike told me, on iTunes. And I think Amazon.com. This thing went viral already. It's gotten over 800,000 hits. And he thought by the end of the day it might hit 1 million. We need to spread the message of this song around because Americans have short memories. And here he's talking about a guy that really can't even prove he's a human being. That brings us to tonight's guest, who is very much a human being and a great researcher, a host of a fabulous world-renowned website called educate-yourself.org. He's a researcher, a journalist, a metaphysician, and a musician even. And he's our good friend, a frequent guest on Evident Footprints, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much. Delighted to be back with you.
Well, it's nice to have you back. What do you think of Mike Fisher's song?
Oh, perfect lyrics. Good country driving tune, but the lyrics are spot on, and this is something that I don't understand why an overwhelming majority of people are under the illusion that the phantom persona that he campaigned under is not who he is. It never was who he is. It was simply feel-good talk. We said it at the time he was going on Oprah, and it's stirring feel good talk. It had no substance to anything he said in the campaign or anything he says after the campaign. The man is a chronic pathological liar. He does nothing but lie. And because he does it in a glib, sort of self-assured, confident voice, and of course he has no one there to challenge him, he convinces a lot of people who don't know what's going on in this country, who don't know the news, who know nothing, who listens to his performance, because that's all they are, and say, oh, or at least subliminally accept it as being true. You heard how many times he was repeating, I suppose those clips were taken from the campaign, how transparent things were going to be. There's no such thing as transparency with this or the previous administration or the administration before that. We have a series of Illuminati puppets assuming the role of President of the United States. In this case, it's the most egregious insult of all because the man isn't even an American.
Yeah.
He's an illegal alien posing as the President of the United States. He's a usurper. He's a usurper. He's a fraud. He's a criminal. And how much evidence do you need that this guy's a fraud? He has no bona fide record of a birth certificate here in America. All his pictures, supposed pictures, put up on the internet, supposedly shown as a child and at school in Hawaii, are all photoshopped. You took those photos apart in your series of articles, The Three Stooges Go to Washington. Reverend James Manning, New York there, just put up a video not so long ago that he makes it clear that he supposedly attended Columbia University. No one saw him on campus. No one remembers him. He simply wasn't there. He just got a degree, and he never attended the school. And I have the hunch, or the feeling anyway, the same goes for Harvard. He was supposed to be this, he was paraded to us as this big constitutional professor from Harvard. The man never went there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a continuous string of total fabrications and lies. And it just riles me to no end. You know, it's bad enough that we have American-born, you know, Illuminati sellouts and puppets like Bush or Clinton.
Well, Bush, you can't count on him. I did that research, too.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm talking about the son. But good Lord, the man's not even an American. And he's posing as the president of the United States. And these outrageous propagandists and prostitutes in the media and talk radio hosts, CNN, you know, naturally Obama's own handpicked appointees, etc. Anytime the subject comes up of Obama's illegitimacy as president because he's a non-American, they scoff at these people. They ridicule them. They mock them. And yet the statements are completely true. There is no evidence that this man was born in Hawaii. None whatsoever. Not a zip. So
yes.
That's the...
Well said. I agree.
That's the rant of Obama.
Yeah, you know my thoughts on that. And, of course, my readers and our listeners know that we're not shy about expressing our thoughts on those issues. So I appreciate your input.
Yeah.
Now, last week, you and I talked about a family in Texas that's being harassed by, let's say, a black ops group. And it's definitely of a satanic nature. There is no doubt about that. And you have posted just a couple of many, many photos that you have in regard to that to substantiate many of the claims that, that this family is making, the absolutely insane goings on. You want to talk about a horror movie. You could add the horror that people felt back in 73 when The Exorcist came out, and some years later, Poltergeist and the Amityville Horror. You could add all the consummate fear that those movies attempted to produce, and they don't hold a candle to what this young family is going through, and. It's beyond the wildest imagination of anybody, and yet it's going on. And you know, we're at a bit of a handicap because of the distance, but certainly video and photographs show that there's a lot to this story, and we know of others that this is happening to. And I know that you wanted to. Let's say breach that topic once again and delve into another aspect of the same type of harassment, and I don't know what you would call it. You know, it's so beyond anything that's human. What would you call it? You know, it's like an abduction experience that just goes on and on and on and never ends. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, that is the dilemma I faced last week when I was just thinking of how to title this. And generically, I think the most accurate way to describe it is a besiegement of individuals by first alien extraterrestrial interlopers who are operating out of the fourth and fifth dimension. That's part of it. The other part of it is part of the siege is also the torment, harassment, in many cases torture, by black ops types of the CIA, principally, I suppose. But also, there's military groups involved in these operations. And the third element is that there are Satanists in the mix. Black magicians and Satanists are also plying their trade within this harassment scheme. So the Texas family, I was originally going to spend this entire show continuing with their dilemma and explain more details of what's occurring there, but there's another lady who I'm going to talk about in this show because her situation is similar. She contacted me easily a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. She has was sending me. First, she was explaining to me there was many strange things happening in her life. We talked on the phone at length, and I got a better idea of how it all came to be. This woman was born in Iran to a medical doctor. Her natural father was a medical doctor. Her mother divorced the doctor and remarried another man in Iran who was involved with the Iranian intelligence service, okay? She was married to an Iranian man at the age of 18 in Iran. And they both came to Oregon, to Portland, Oregon, and they both attended school. They went to, I think, 2 or 3 years to college in Portland. And then from there, they moved to California. And ultimately, they wound up spending 13 years in California. They lived in the Brentwood area of California. She ultimately divorced this man when she was 43 years old, probably somewhere in the mid-1990s, somewhere in that general area. And for a time, she attempted to live by herself, first in California and then in Colorado, but she was having so much trouble. She lived alone in an apartment in Colorado. She was being besieged by alien manifestations, by demonic type manifestations, military types, black magicians. They were psychotronic, which means electronic torture and harassment. She had a very hard time of it, so much so that she went back to the East Coast. Her parents lived in Long Island, and she was hoping she could, you know, live with the parents and be relatively safe. These manifestations continued to occur in her parents' home, although the parents themselves almost never saw or experienced these things. However, though, this gal took plenty of digital pictures, and she sent me hundreds of them. And the manifestations are so plain and obvious, I mean, anybody could see it. So she had all kinds of alien stuff going on. You could see remote viewers, humans, for instance, a guy with glasses. He would appear on a digital photo, partially transparent, but still you could see enough outline to see it's a human being. He's wearing a pair of glasses, and he's obviously, you know, remote viewer, government type who's surveilling her.
Now, we saw that same phenomenon occur in the Texas family photos, too.
Yes.
You remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. So we have to realize in this story, it's not just aliens alone who are behind these, you know, what's the word I want? Besiegement, behind these infestations, let's call it. It's not just aliens. There is definitely a contingent of government people, meaning CIA types, and there's also some arm or some aspect of block ops of militaries that tends to be involved in most of these cases. And thirdly, there's always this kind of satanic black magician element as well. You see a mix of these three things with people who are being tormented and harassed in these things.
Yeah, it's sort of the real life example of be all that you can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, in most cases, at least in the cases I'm hearing of, these people don't deserve this treatment because they haven't done anything to merit being put through this, you know, this horrific life. It's a 24/7 event. In the case of the family in Texas, of course, they have four young children. So not only are the mother and father putting up an enormous amount of abuse, but the kids are being abused as well. In this case, there's a woman. She's divorced, so she's alone now. And so she contacted me when she was still living with the parents in New York, and I talked to her many times and found out the background. And the pictures are simply remarkable. She thought she would be safer if she moved to a rural part of North Carolina. She had an aunt who had passed away from cancer, and she inherited this house and the property from her aunt. It was co-inherited by the woman's mother and this woman herself. This woman's name is Yasmin. And she hoped by going there she would have less alien infestation, let's say, and manifestations than she was having in her parents' home, because the assumption was big city, lots of negative energy, these handlers were locating themselves in an apartment right above the one that she lived in with her parents. The parents lived in a large multi-story apartment house, okay? So there was many apartments, and you know, these, she saw these military types and other people going into that apartment. She knew they were performing satanic ceremonies because she was on the receiving end of their rituals. So she thought, well, if I live in a rural area, I'm in a house alone, at least I won't have, you know, these handlers, perhaps the word is, you know, harassers really close to me. And so that's why she moved. She thought she could get away and have more peace. In some respects, it was more peaceful, but as she spent more time there, she became increasingly targeted. The manifestations but continued. But what got worse is that she's definitely, no doubt about it, under steady microwave attack. They're literally cooking this woman with microwaves. And we had some people with talent who looked in and did discover that there was some other houses in her area, not far from her, within a straight line of sight to her place, that had some high-tech equipment that was beaming energy at her. This party also had relayed to me that there was a satellite who was also beaming her. So some effort was made a couple months ago to neutralize some of these weapons against this lady, and I believe that was successful. However, because the people doing this, and I'm talking about the government people involved in it, have unlimited funding, and if they lose some equipment, they just bring in new equipment and they just replace it. This is what we found to be the case with the Texas family. People with talent, we call them etheric resistance fighters, can stop some of these events. And however, though, what we found that within a day or so, they just regroup, they replace the equipment, and they go right back to the surveillance and the harassment. So, in the case of this gal, she was really having a lot of trouble three or four months ago, and she became very depressed. She was thinking about committing suicide because there seemed to be no out. So we did ask some people to look into it, and some things were done, and you assisted me in that regard as well. I don't know if you want to talk about it, but you were able to gather
go ahead. For the sake of the listening audience, I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
As far as you know, when she was in Portland, this is upon arriving to the United States, she went to Portland with her husband, was in school 2 years, you said, and then she spent,
two or three, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 13 years in California?
Yes.
Now, we know pretty much what's going on in Southern California in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
That's an Illuminati stronghold. It used to be up north in the San Francisco area, and over time they moved the operation to Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much all over Southern California, for that matter.
Yes, right.
Some people say, well, it's Riverside. Others say San Bernardino. But I can tell you from what I've discovered just doing the research that I'm doing on these presidential candidates that I keep coming up with the same addresses, the same locales.
Yes.
And the evil that we experience from our alleged leaders is a reflection of what's going on there in Southern California. Has she alluded to any participation in rituals or anything like that while she was there in the Brentwood area? And keep in mind, that's where the OJ case took place.
Okay. Yes, I know. Yeah. No, this woman herself has never participated in any satanic rituals or anything anywhere along those lines. Nothing whatsoever. Now, it's possible, and I don't know this for a fact, the husband was probably involved in a lot of, let's say, shady things, unknown to her.
Mm-hmm.
She was about as innocent as you can get when she got married to this guy, and he was handsome, he was charming, he had money. I mean, it just seemed like a Cinderella type deal.
Mm-hmm. So it's when she left him that the trouble started, when she went up to Denver then.
It really intensified at that. Yes, that's right. So no, she never participated in anything dark whatsoever. She's
mm-hmm.
quite the opposite. She's a very spiritually aware person, but she ultimately, I guess, was sufficiently, let's say, I'll use the word abused by the husband,
mm-hmm.
that she felt there was no hope of trying to continue on with the marriage. He really didn't care about her. He didn't love her. He was cheating on her left and right. And I think she just finally told herself, why don't I just live alone? So she got divorced and she went on her own. She did get involved with a group because she was, let's say, looking for higher spiritual paths. She was that type of person. And she got involved with a group that actually originated in the state of Washington in the 1930s. It's called I Am. And originally, it was sort of centered around the Mount Shasta area of Northern California. And I came to find out, through my research at least, that it is not the type of group that I would join with.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of these deals that appeal to the, let's say, the major selling points of New Age feel-goodism,
mm-hmm.
but in fact is really has a darker mission. And I think she got sucked into that, thinking it was all light and love and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and these groups have connections, by the way, you know, for the listeners, from town to town.
Mm-hmm.
Across the country,
mm-hmm.
They know of each other and they're friendly. They occasionally all meet in certain places, much like, you know, high schools would have reunions. They'll meet in places. So when she moved to Denver, then likely this organization knew people there in that area.
I believe so. That's the general impression I get. Now I have to say, in fairness to her, just so she very much feels that this organization is not, you know, involved in any of this. And I don't want to offend her or, you know, butt heads with her. If is she thinks it's a good organization, even though the evidence, particularly when she was in New York, she told me a number of things that happened. The evidence that they're very much on the dark side was very plain to me in the conversations I had. But I don't want to, you know, argue with her about this. Mm. She feels, let's say, you know, loyal towards this, the goals of this group. So I don't argue with her, but my own analysis is that this group certainly played a substantial role in what she's undergoing today.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible, but I don't know for sure. It's possible she was set up from birth. Very often these, let's say, deals with the reptilians are set up from birth forward. Certainly that was the case with the Texas family. So that this gal was born to, you know, a man and a doctor in Iraq, and I don't know what caused the divorce with his wife, but she said he was a good father. She remembers him as a young girl. And she, you know, has no harsh words to say about her stepfather either. There was nothing overt that occurred in which she felt that he was, let's say, doing things to harm her or to set her up. She had really no inkling. But the fact that he worked for the Secret Intelligence Service told me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Very often they will use somebody in that position as a handler for someone who's been marked and targeted. And, you know, I have the feeling that may be the case with Yasmin. I have the feeling she may have been marked to, let's say, be on the receiving end of this alien reptilian infestation.
Mm-hmm. Now, describe for the audience, if you would, if you're ready to do that, some of what she's experiencing.
Well, it is, it's remarkable when you see it on pictures. These, let's say, dimensional shifts, these apparitions are manifesting in front of her, in the room she is, in the backyard, et cetera, in her space, and sometimes, you know, at a considerable distance from her. It's amazing that these images are captured on digital photography. And these creatures, let's call them, if they're in a higher dimension, you can't see them. Even the digital camera can't pick it up. But as they shift into a lower dimension, they can be detected. If they shift very thoroughly into the third dimension, they look opaque. They look solid, and they may well be solid, because she's often, the lady I'm talking about, often has said that she can physically feel these entities. In most cases, they're semi-transparent. So you can see a head, an eyes, nose, et cetera, of, let's say, a reptilian-type creature, but you can also see through him. That is the most common thing you see. They're semi-transparent, but they're certainly there. They come and go. They don't stay continuously. When they come, a lot of things change in this woman's environment. First, the lighting in the room will change. Even in daylight, there's an entity that comes, the whole room becomes quite dark, even in daylight. At nighttime, there could be lamps. The whole room could be lit up with lamps when this entity shows up. I have the photos. The room almost goes completely black. That's the effect that these entities are having on light, on, you know, light photons in the immediate area of where this woman is being visited.
Mm-hmm.
She's had many what look like entities of all sorts, reptilian-type creatures, strange looking robotic type things, devices, I'm not sure what they are. Very typically strange animal looking creatures. They will manifest in as small looking creatures out of her hair, out of her head, out of her eyes. There's simply no limit to the types of manifestations that take place. They'll manifest on the wall, through windows, looking in on her. Have a number of photos. You can clearly see an alien looking right through the glass.
I've seen those photos myself.
There's a number of aliens that had manifested in her backyard when she lived in the New York area. They look like a bunch of little, you know, Steven Spielberg props out there ready to shoot a movie.
yes. I don't mean to laugh at the topic, but it's so true. They're like cartoon characters that have come to life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And very colorful, too. These are not smoky images.
This is quite distinct and clear and very typical. Very typically, the reptilian aliens are green, just like they're described for people who see them. They're green, and they have that long snout and those reptilian-type eyes and, you know, the very often a ridge down the center of their head. Sometimes they have horns.
Mm-hmm.
So scaly skin. Overall humanoid in shape, although some of them aren't. Some of them are kind of look like iguanas, but the... let's say the biped reptilians, the overall shape is humanoid, but they have scales on them, like, you know, a reptile would have. And everyone's seen the pictures, you know, the yellow eyes, the vertical slits, et cetera. It's what you typically see. That's the type of images you see with this lady. And the size is all over the place. I've seen photos of a reptilian, when I enlarged the photo, of her eye in the pupil of her eye. A reptilian is looking back at you from the pupil of her eye. They appear as smallish figures. In other cases, they appear about, the head is about the same size of a human head. There's a large variety of sizes that you will see in these manifestations. She's currently greatly suffering because they're hitting her with this microwave energy. So in addition to the apparitions of these alien entities, she's really being fried with microwaves. And it's so much so that, you know, she's becoming stuporous because she now, her body, her mind, her brain is being so overloaded that she wants to sleep all the time. She's been quite drowsy. And something just absolutely horrible occurred last week. She was being hit by microwave energy, apparently, or at least based on what she's told me to date and what pictures I've shown. There is a man who has, he's in a house. He has about 7 kids, and he's a neighbor of hers within line of sight of her place. And she's been seeing this energy. It creates visual effects on her body, on her hair, in the room. So she sees sort of bluish white light associated with it. She could certainly feel it on her body. There's many times in which she would get up in the morning and she'd look in the mirror and all her skin is red, like she has a sunburn. She's literally being cooked with microwaves. My guess is, based on information that I recently obtained from her, and I was told, by the way, by one of the people who can psychically look into the situation, there is a wealthy, a powerful person who owns property in that area, who owns a lot of property in that area. And I was told by this psychic source that they covet this woman's property. The lady I'm talking about inherited the property from her aunt, who was the sister of her mother, who died of cancer a couple of years ago, and she wasn't that old. The aunt had told Yasmin, this lady, before she died, that she suspected something was going on with this so-called neighbor, this man, and the wealthy party who wishes to covet their property moved in to that area at the same time. It was 6 to 7 years ago, exactly at the same time they came together. Different houses, but they arrived and moved in at the same time. And while the aunt was alive, this wealthy party was frequently on the land of the aunt. However, she was never, you know, never approached her as a neighbor in any friendly way, but she frequently was on the land. They used, this party used to steal fruit from their fruit, from this lady's fruit trees, and this woman, you know, didn't understand, you know, why are they trespassing on my land all the time, as if they own the place. So Yasmin found out from the aunt that she had very high suspicions that something is going on with this wealthy group and this guy with the seven kids. She wasn't sure exactly what it was, but she just had an uneasy feeling about them. Okay, long story short, she dies of cancer. She was suspicious that something about that guy played a role in this cancer case. She rapidly developed cancer. It wasn't a long-term thing. It was something that came up very quickly and took her out very quickly. Now, you know, I don't have to remind you of what happened to Don Harkin. He was targeted in this way, and he, because of radiation, was caused to develop a cancer very rapidly, and, you know, he didn't survive that long, and he was a very young, strong man. So I don't have definite proof, but I definitely now have growing suspicions that the aunt might have been taken out and given cancer, and now that the niece inherited a property, she's getting fried with microwaves.
Yeah, if I can interject something to support what you're saying about the property, I did a property search of that area, and that house is worth, according to the records, about five times of what the house is next door where she claims this energy is coming from. And I would suspect a couple of things, that the seven kids don't all belong to the family. It's probably a money-making venture, like foster home or something.
Yes,
like that.
That's what I'm thinking too, yeah.
And in fact, the house next door is worth less than what it sold for recently, whereas the price of the house that Yasmin is living in has jumped over three times, almost four times what it was worth when it was bought.
Yes.
So there's a real estate game going on there.
There is, yes. Sure. That is part of it. Her house looks quite beautiful, both inside and out. It's a very attractive looking house. The land, 2 acres of land, very well manicured. I mean, it's a nice place. However, the guy we're talking about, it's, you know, it's a redneck type deal. Trash everywhere. I mean, we're talking redneck big time. And it's night and day. I mean, night and day.
But his neck isn't red from the beams, is what
you're
saying.
No, it's not. No. So what happened to her, she was being hit so badly, she couldn't sleep at all because this energy is coming right into her window there. She was calling 911. She was calling the police. She was calling rescue and saying that, you know, I'm being hit with some kind of microwave energy here. And, you know, and so people responded, but the response was, I don't know, suspicious, I think is the best way to put it. She called the local police, and the local police didn't really help her much. They tended to be, let's say, dismissive of what she was complaining about and kind of a deal, don't bother us again.
Now, was that the police or the sheriff?
Well, that's coming. The
okay.
First people was the police.
Okay.
And then they have something in that area called a rescue squad. Maybe it's probably connected with 9/11. She's talking to people over the phone on rescue fires, and in at least in two cases, there was a man she told me the name, I won't reveal the name tonight, but who seemed to acknowledge that he is aware of these microwave attacks and that they have a means of countering it. Now, this is what he's telling her.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just stringing her along.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I, there's a lot of evidence.
I would agree with you. Just on intuition, I would say that's very accurate.
Yeah. There's a lot of evidence that particularly the sheriff's group there, the sheriff's group and the police and these 9/11 rescue people, they're all in the loop on this. It's not like they're not aware of who's directing this energy towards her and what she's undergoing, but they're either playing dismissive or they're playing her, saying, well, yeah, well, we, you know, this guy had told her, well, on 9/11, this is about a week and a half ago. He says, well, yeah, I can do something about that. He says, I'm in the mobile van here. And he said, I can, you know, send out a signal that will stop that. And first she was surprised that he was willing to help her. And second, she in fact did notice a change. She noticed there was like a change in this energy. She felt like a sudden relief, and she says, oh my God, they can do something about it. So she was okay for a couple of nights, and then it starts up again a couple of nights later, and it's worse than ever. So she calls the same man again from the 9/11, thinking, well, if he did it once, he could do it again. But this time he tells her, well, no, I'm not in the van anymore, so I don't have the control panel where I am. We only have that in the van. And so he says, I can't do anything from this, but I'll check with you. I'll check with my super and get back to you. And he essentially tells her after he gets back, well, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about it. I'm not in the right location for it. But she was grateful. She's thinking, well, I guess, he's at least trying and they're not giving her a hard time. And, you know, she then calls the next night, another major attack, microwave. Then she calls the sheriffs. And she actually gets a sheriff who not only was respectful towards her and polite to her, but himself came into her room where she was explaining, this is where I'm being hit with the energy, it's coming through this window, blah, blah, blah. He has some type of high-tech weapon of his own. She doesn't know what it is, but it's some sort of device. And she's standing there in the room, and this guy is firing back. I don't know what he's firing. It's some sort of, I don't know what it is, Don, because she wasn't sure. Let's call it a ray gun just to come up with a name. Back in the direction of where this energy is coming towards. And he's essentially like having a shootout with this guy. I mean, she was telling me, you know, this is amazing. You know, I'm standing there and this is going on. This guy told her that ought to help for tonight. He said, he says, there's a lot of this stuff going on with ETs, and again, I don't know whether this guy's playing her. He was very polite to her, very friendly, and he says, you know, not everyone in the sheriff groups knows about this. He says, but I do, and I know what you're going through. And he told her, you know, I'm a Christian man, and I don't want to see you going through this. So she was very grateful to him. She said, thank you, and happy, and told me the story. I talked to her a day or two later. But something horrendous happened last Friday. She had another major attack. She called the sheriff again, and this time a new person shows up, a person she only had heard the name of. It was a female sheriff. And she had heard this name mentioned on 3 or 4 occasions previously in very, let's say, mysterious circumstances. This woman, sheriff person, turns out to be, you know, Mother Lucifer herself. She mistreated Yasmin on an unprecedented scale. First, she goes there. Yasmin explains everything to her, told her about the guy who helped her the other night, but that is it. This woman immediately, woman sheriff, immediately turns on her, accuses her of calling 911, abusing 911 for frivolous reasons, and arrested her. Puts her in handcuffs, treats her roughly, takes her down, and gets her committed to a psychiatric hospital. And I just received this information today. This happened on Friday afternoon, in fact. She was arrested by this woman sheriff. All this occurred on Friday afternoon. And she, Yasmin, eventually got a copy of a petition that this sheriff filled out, in which she's claiming that because... she was placed under arrest because she's a danger to herself and the community, and that she's, a danger, that she's going to be committed to this institution there for at least 10 days for observation. The paperwork itself had the name of a magistrate on it, but no signature, no stamp, no seal. In other words, this sheriff decided all on her own that she was going to play the role of judge and magistrate and commit this gal to this institution. She was eventually able, Yasmin had a very hard time of it. She needed to go to the bathroom. She told Officer Rambo that she needed to go to the bathroom, and the woman just flat out refused. No, she would not take off the handcuffs. No, you can't go to the bathroom. Yasmin said, what can I do? I have to relieve myself. And so Officer Rambo says, well, you just do whatever you're going to do. In other words, it's okay. Just pee all over yourself right on the floor here. You're not going to the bathroom. So she keeps her sitting there another 15 minutes doing absolutely nothing. And then after 15 minutes, she brings her over to the area where the staff is, in handcuffs, of course, because Officer Rambo wants to be sure that the staff sees that she's a dangerous criminal and therefore needs to be treated with that kind of disdain. And Yasmin finally was able to be placed in a room, and she had to, remove her clothes and get in a gown. But finally, with an escort and guard, the hospital people allow her at least to go to the bathroom that was in the room there, so at least you can go to the bathroom. She then had to remain in this bed, in this room, for 5 hours until she's transferred upstairs, and then she's put in a room with another person who's got major drug problems, psychotic problems, etc. And then she just went through a very difficult time. I won't go through all the details, it takes too long, but her treatment was not good. She refused any drugs. They wanted to not only force drugs on her, they wanted to force vaccines on her. Are you there, Don?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They wanted to force not only drugs but vaccines on her. She flat out refused. No, I will not accept any of this. The first psychiatrist that she talked to was extremely discourteous to her, unpleasant, and decided after talking to her for 10 minutes that she was psychotic and schizophrenic. And she said to him, oh, you made all that decision in 10 minutes of time with asking me 3 questions. He was extremely belligerent, nasty, and she told the staff that she will not talk to this man anymore. So the next day, fortunately, she got a much more reasonable psychiatrist to talk with her, and she tried to explain to him what's been happening to her, that she's perfectly sane, and that this Officer Rambo had no justified reason to arrest her, that she's being victimized by this high-tech energy assault, and she was merely reporting this because she was in fear of her life. And she did leave me a message on my phone. I didn't hear it at the time because it was like 1:30 in the morning for me, 4:30 in the morning for her. For her, but she was saying that, you know, they're trying to kill me. So she was very upset.
Yeah,
and
this
very
is typical. This is a typical setup to get her incarcerated so they can steal the property.
Right. Yeah. So, thank you. She talked to a more kindly and reasonable psychiatrist because she adamantly refused to talk to the first one who sized her up, you know, as being, who absolutely insisted to pump her up with drugs and vaccines. And she says, I'm not allowing you to do anything to me. I refuse flatly. And I can't talk with you anymore. You don't respect me. So anyway, she was really, thank God she has the wherewithal and the strength to defend herself. She doesn't just let people railroad her. And even as Officer Rambo was arresting her, she was telling her that you have no justification for arresting me. I'm not doing anything. I'm in my own home here. I'm reporting an assault to you. I'm being assaulted with this high-tech energy weapons, and you're treating me, you know, as if I'm a criminal. And so, I mean, Yasmin is a completely sane, logical, organized person. She thinks analytically and linearly, and she's not hysterical. And they're trying their best to, as you say, create the pretext first to arrest her and bring her in, and as you say, get her committed, get her drugged up, get her declared insane, and start moving in on the property. Fortunately, she got out today, on Tuesday. She got out in the afternoon because she got to see this psychiatrist again on Monday. Excuse me, on Sunday, and he could talk to her in greater depth. And he could plainly see she's as sane as can be. He also could plainly see that there was no justification to bring her there. And thirdly, she had no intentions of taking any drugs or anything else. In fact, she found out on the first night, the Friday night she was there, after talking to this very harsh psychiatrist, the only thing she ate was the dinner presented her. They had clearly drugged the food. Because she said her mood changed that night. And the next morning when she woke up, she looked in the mirror, her eye pupils were dilated. She says it's the first time in her life she's ever seen her eyes dilated. And it's the only time it happened. And I said, do you suspect the food? She says, absolutely. It tasted funny. And then they had given her coffee too, I think on Saturday. And she said when she tasted it, it tasted funny. And then she told herself, I'm not going to, you know, so she just, from that point on, she was just eating fruit, apples, bananas, and she never, you know, for the remainder of the time she was in this psychiatric hospital, she didn't experience that dilation of the eyes again. She was very drowsy and dopey the whole time she was there, but she felt that she was still under microwave attack. And that's certainly possible via satellite, because she's got implants in her, as all victims of this class do. And wherever she goes, the satellite can beam her wherever she is. And she was in a room by herself there. So she could have been continued to be targeted by satellite, even in the hospital, because she said it felt that way. She said she felt she can recognize this energy on many levels, and she has many, you know, physical responses to it, all of them unpleasant.
Well, Ken, we're out of time. I'd like to certainly talk about this more. I'm sure also that this is going to be an ever-unfolding story because they're on a mission to steal some property and just... The depravity of it.
Yeah. So what you have is a situation. I'll just conclude with this: is that she's already being targeted by this alien military satanic type stuff. No matter where she moves, she's, you know, being exposed to this torment. That's part of it. But a secondary part of it is that the aunt owned the property that's being coveted by locals there who are clearly evil people. And because of what she told me about the behavior of the sheriff's department, this 9/11 rescue squad and the cops, they're inside this loop. Now, I don't have to tell you that There are areas in North Carolina that have a known reputation of being absolute nest of satanic networks, Asheville being the best known. And I have the feeling that's what you have here. This occurs in a number of states. I know people who live in Missouri particularly have told me about this. You get this little club going. It's kind of like CIA, FBI, local police, sheriff, Satanists, all kind of working together, you know, in victimizing people.
And yeah, and you know, the same names keep popping up, too, like Joseph Mengele, whether it's on the West Coast or the East Coast or in the Midwest and the South, the same names. Of course, he goes by his aliases, whether it's Dr. Green or a new one is Dr. Polk. I've got a couple there. And when you do some investigating, you find these names are attached to murders also.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, I appreciate you sharing this with the listening audience. It's a very difficult topic to discuss. And I can assure the listeners that Ken's not exaggerating. I'm quite familiar with this case. And I've seen the photos. And are you going to be posting those photos as well?
Yes, I will. I'll be putting up her story as well because we have to stop this. And the next step is to expose the story so at least some number of the public becomes aware of what this woman is going through. I'm sure there are thousands of people are going through similar circumstances, but we have to expose this story. The Texas family and this gal are both being besieged by these reptilian infestations, and we have to let the public know that this is going on. I believe there are ways to stop it. They're not easy, but I believe techniques are possible. But the first thing we got to do is get it out in the public and expose it. So
yeah,
that's why I'm talking about these cases now.
Okay. Well, we got to say goodnight to our listeners. I want to encourage people to go to your website, educate-yourself.org. Have a look at the photos that Ken posted. You got to really look at these too, folks. After a while, you become acclimated into looking for these anomalies that we're describing, but they're there.
Yep.
And the photos are extracted from video, so they're not faked.
Right.
I can guarantee that. I've seen both.
I'll be putting many more photos up on the Texas family story as well. People will be surprised at what's coming. I have a lot.
Well, I want to thank you. We got to say goodnight to our listeners, and you're going to be with us again, next week?
Next week, I think. Yes.
Yeah. So that's on the 30th, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
31st.
Oh, is it 31st? Oh, yeah, that's right. We have 31 days this month. Okay.
Okay, yeah, but thank you again for having me, Don.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And keep up the good work. I know your work's getting a lot of attention. It seems like your website is increasing in popularity by the minute, so...
Thanks.
Keep it up. And have a good night, too.
Okay.
All right, folks. That about does it for tonight. Our special guest tonight, Ken Adachi, will be with us again next week on the 31st of March. So be sure to tune in for that show. Also, we would like to thank both Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying Evident Footprints. And special thanks go out to tonight's musical guest, although he wasn't here. Again, he'll be with us on the 1st of April, Mr. Mike Fisher, and his great song, The Great Reneger. And to you out there at BBS Radio, want to thank Seth on the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and our listening audience for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Dr. Mike Castle, and we're going to be talking about some things that have got people up in arms. All you have to do is look up in the skies and you kind of guess what we're going to be talking about. And in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.